Okay, since this is December, this will serve as the culminating Sunday school lesson natin sa buong taon, ating hopefully naging balanse tayo sa mga tinatalakay natin mga lessons dito sa Sunday school, doctrinal, practical, even historical, intellectual issues concerning academic life. We try to be as well-rounded as possible because I believe that that is what the Bible is. Well-rounded siya sa mga issue. And so, capping our Sunday school lessons with the issue of health, I believe is just right to really have a well-rounded series of lessons in the year 2011. But there is another reason why I am capping the Sunday school lessons with a consideration of health. Itong taong ito ay we were forcefully compelled to be conscious of health issues in many ways. Siyempre, nariyan yung usapin na may mga mahal tayong kinuha na sa atin. For some of them, for reasons of health. Hindi lang sa may kinuha sa atin, may muntik kunin sa atin. At mas marami sa atin ang merong health issues. Mga issue ng serious illness, issue ng mga bagay na may kinalaman sa pangkalusugan. So these are reasons why in the year 2011, we were forcefully made conscious of this issue of health. But besides that, sa lipunan natin, lumalawak din ang kamalayan tungkol sa mga usapin na may kinalaman sa kalusugan, developments in the medical field, some discoveries of mga advanced sa pagtuklas ng mga gamot sa mga karamdaman, mga bagong strain ng mga karamdaman, and then of course sa lipunan natin, andyan yung mga usapin ng dengue na seasonal ay pinoproblema natin. Sa ngayon, ang huling balita kumakalat naman ay yung AH1N1 na karamdaman. So hindi natin maiwasan na nasa lipunan tayo na very, very high yung consciousness sa health issues at hindi maari na hindi natin ito palampasin. So we will consider this. I believe that on the one hand, I can lead the discussion on this, not because I'm a model of caring for my health, which I am not. But I believe that the scriptures have enough to say on issues of health, and so I want this to be a matter of discussion. I will depend on some sa usaping ito para sa mga ginagawa ninyo, kung anong ginagawa ninyo para mapanatili yung inyong kalusugan, yung iba anong pinoproblema, at para magkapalitan tayo ng mga bagay-bagay upang makatulong sa isa't isa sa usapin na pangkalusugan. Ang gagawin ko ngayong umaga ay the general principle why we can be concerned about health issues and why it is a matter of spiritual consideration, not simply physical. Kaya general ang approach ko ngayong umaga. Sa susunod na linggo na siyang katapusan ay mas practical at doon tayo tatalakay sa mga practical na bagay para mapanatili natin, ma-maximize natin yung ating mga usapin na pangkalusugan. So for today, just a general concern. Gusto kong sabihin, umpisaan sa pagdidiin na wastong alalahanin ng alagad ang kalusugan. In other words, hindi ito usapin na panglaman, hindi ito isang makalaman o makamundo na bagay na hindi dapat pagtuunan ng pansin ng mananampalataya. I believe that health is still a matter of faith. So it is wrong to deem faith as unconcerned in matters of the body. Pwede tayo maging yung tinatawag na hyper-spiritual. The idea that a spiritual person is so concerned with heaven that he has no concern about things of the body, so concerned about the soul, hindi po totoo yung konsepto na ganyan tungkol sa pananampalataya. Minsan may sinabi si Martin Luther tungkol sa isang babae, she is so heavenly minded that she is no earthly good. Masyado siyang makalangit ang isip, wala siyang pakinabang sa mundo. Ayaw nating maging ganun. Gusto natin na yung heavenly mindedness natin ay earthbound, earth-rooted, and earth-applied. At ganun ang kalusugan. Ito ay angkop na pag-isipan ng Kristiyano. And in fact, there are two things I would like to say why this is an important consideration for the Christian. It is a matter that affirms complete humanity, yung kakumpletuhan ng ating pagkatao. But even more than that, it's a matter of Christian testimony. So, yung dalawang bagay na yan sa, na kasama sa pagkonsidera ng kalusugan, it affirms complete humanity and it is something that has to do with our Christian testimony. So, dito muna tayo sa bakit ito may kinalaman sa kabuuan ng ating pagkatao, the complete humanity. Well, ano ba yung humanity? Ano ba yung tinutukoy nating pagkatao? Well, isang doktrina yung pananariwain natin dito, the doctrine na tinatawag na human composition, ano ang bumubuo sa tao, ano ang ikaw bilang tao, ano ka? Anong mayroon tayo lahat? Maaring nagkakaiba-iba yung ating personalidad, nagkakaiba-iba yung uri ng ating anyo, pangangatawan, etc. Ngunit, lahat ng tao ay binubuo ng katawan at kaluluwa. The human constitution is that of body and soul. Maliwanag yan sa pagtuturo ng salita ng Diyos. The complete earthly constitution of man is body and soul. Nung isinusugo ni Jesus yung kanyang mga alagad at nagbabala siya na sila'y maaring usigin, ang iba sa kanila ay maari pang patayin. There is the risk of martyrdom. Yan ang kasama sa mensahe ko kanina na may mga bagay na handa tayong mamatay dapat alang-alang kay Jesucristo. So itong binabala ni Jesus sa kanila, but yung kanyang ibinigay na kahandaan, kung haharap sila sa ganun, ay Matthew 10:28, do not fear him who is able to kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So sa salitang yan, huwag na muna nating ipaliwanag ng gusto sa konteksto, pero sa mga salitang yan, tinutukoy ni Jesus ano yung buong pagkatao, ang Diyos ang may kakayahan na puksain ang buong pagkatao, ang kaya lang galawin na mga manguusig ay hanggang katawan. Pero ang Diyos ay yung kabuuan ng pagkatao, kaya dinidefine doon yung kabuuan ng pagkatao, at ang kabuuan ng pagkatao ay dinefine as body and soul. You are body and soul. Ikaw ay katawan at kaluluwa bilang isang tao. Liliwanagin ko lang dahil may mga evangelicals na ang kanilang paniniwala ay tatlo ang bumubuo sa tao. Tatlo yung sangkap at pinag-iiba nila ang kaluluwa at espiritu. Kaya sa kanilang paniniwala, ang tao ay katawan, kaluluwa at espiritu. Mali po yan dahil maliwanag naman na interchangeable. There is a nuance of difference between soul and spirit in usage, but in terms of application, soul and spirit are interchangeably used. Pinagpapalit-palitan. Isang napakaliwanag ay yung si Mary sa kanyang tinatawag na Magnificat, Luke 1:46 and 47, matapos ay anunsyo sa kanya na siya ay magsisilang ng magiging Mesiyas. Eh, sa kanyang kamanghaan, ang nasambit niya ay, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit exalts my God, my Savior." Now, hindi ibig sabihin na isang sangkap niya ay nag-magnify at ibang sangkap naman yung pumuri. That will be a confusion. Very clearly and very obviously, they are interchangeably used. At marami pang ganyan sa buong Biblia na pinagpapalit-palitan lang, kaya hindi tama yung katuruan ng tinatawag na tripartism, na tatlong parte o tatlong sangkap ang tao. Dalawa lang, isang physical, material, katawan, at isang non-physical, non-material, ang kaluluwa o espiritu. So ganyan ka, mula nang ikaw ay nag-exist sa sinapupunan bilang tao, you are body and soul. Therefore, the affirmation of humanity, kung pagtitibay natin ang ating pagkatao, it must include both the body and the soul in the right place. Any neglect of one because of the other is to dehumanize oneself. Ano mang pagpapabaya sa isang sangkap nang dahil sa isa pang sangkap ay nagkukulang ang pagkatao. Halimbawang pabayaan natin na nangyari sa mga nakalipas na panahon, to neglect the soul for the indulgence of the body, ay yan yung sensual materialism. Kung puro pangkatawan ang inaatupag at nalilimutan ang interes ng kaluluwa, yan ang tinawag ni Paul, Philippians 3:17 and following, whose God is their belly. Dinidiyos nila ang kanilang tiyan. Ang ibig sabihin niya, appetites, yung mga physical urges, physical desires, ang nagdidikta ng kanilang buhay, eh maraming taong ganyan. At sa mundo natin, yan ang pinapairal. Yan ang dahilan na biling-bili ang maraming commercial is because they know people make a god of their belly. Or whatever it is that has to do with body. Maaring suotan nila ng maganda ang kanilang katawan, ngunit pinapabayaan mga usaping pangkaluluwa. Mali iyon. Pero the other, yung kabila niyan, mali rin. Sa mga nakalipas na panahon, ay nandoon yung mga taong gustong-gustong yung pangkaluluwa, pero pinababayaan ng katawan. Ang tawag po riyan ay asceticism. Yung ascetic ay sinasadyang gutumin yung kanyang katawan o sa kanilang paniniwala na mas napapalapit sila sa Panginoong Jesus. Siguro kilala niyo si Francis of Assisi na sinasanto at hinahangaan ng marami. Ang ginawa niya ay talagang vow of poverty, sa buong buhay niya, hindi siya nagsapatos, walang suot na pampaa. Sa kanyang paniniwala na ito yung aangkop sa isang taong malapit kay Jesus. And that of course is an illusion. It is fanaticism. To neglect the body in the illusion that you pay more close interest to the soul, eh, mali iyan. Kaya the affirmation of humanity must include body and soul. Huwag pabayaan ang katawan. In fact, matindi ang salita ni Pablo dyan, yung mga nagbabawal ng mga uri ng pagkain ay anong tinawag niya yan? Doktrina ng demonyo. That's Paul. Hindi ko po salita yun. Salita ni Pablo yun. Kung gusto nyong checkin, nasa 1 Timothy 4 and following. Why? Because kapag pinagbawal mo yung satisfaction ng katawan, legitimate satisfaction that is, you are denying creation. Tinatanggihan mo ang nilalang ng Diyos. Nilalang niya ang mga bagay na ito. Sabi niya, para sa ikabubuti, at kung tanggihan mo, then you are denying the good creation of God. These are good things sanctified to the body by prayer and the word. Huwag nating pabayaan na mahulog tayo sa ganitong pagpapabaya ng katawan na iniisip natin na ako'y nagsasakripisyo alang-alang sa kaharian ng Diyos. Now, just as much as human constitution is body and soul, well, that means all activities, body and soul, are together always throughout earthly life. The only time that they get separated is at death. Yung totoong death. Hindi yung mga nagsasabing they were pronounced clinically dead at pagkatapos ay nakita ro nila yung kanilang katawan na inaasikaso pa ng doktor. Hindi ganun ang tinutukoy kong death. True death is the separation of the spirit or soul from the body. James 2:26, just as the body is dead without the spirit. Ang analogy niya, so is faith without works. But the point there is that what is a dead body? It is not dead because the doctor pronounced so, which can sometimes be wrong. It is dead because God took the spirit. So it's God who pronounces death, ultimately. Maaring may mga physical signs, but the real definition of death is a body without the spirit. Diyan, naghihiwalay. Pero until then, laging magkasama. The body and soul are always together, inseparably, during the earthly life of man, until man dies. So lahat ng activities, all activities, lahat ng mga gawa, lahat ng mga ginagawa ng tao, sa buong buhay niya, may sangkap ng katawan, may sangkap ng kaluluwa. Walang gawain ng tao na purely kaluluwa lang. Walang gawain ng tao na purely katawan lang. Lahat ng ginagawa ng tao sa buong buhay niya dito sa mundo ay magkasama ang kaluluwa at ang katawan. And ang ibig sabihin niyan sa ating complete humanity, humanity is affirmed where activities are the shared function of body and soul. Let me just give you two chief activities of man. One, in the realm of our human life, what separates man from animals? Sinasabi nila, man is the highest form of animal. And I always reject that because in terms of animal functions, lower tayo, sa totoo lang. Smelling, talo tayo ng dog. Hearing, talo tayo ng rabbits. Sa iba't ibang physical functions, talo tayo ng animals kaya hindi natin masasabi na higher form of animal tayo. Purely in animal functions, we are lower form. But why do I say, and why should we say, that man is not merely animal? Because of a function that no animal combined, no animals in the world combined can ever match. Sa tao, thought, thinking. Pagsamahin mo, sinasabi nila, chimpanzees are the closest physically to man with only 1 or 2% difference sa DNA. So malapit daw. Eh, ang hamon ko, pagsamahin mo ang pinakamatatalinong chimpanzee, let's say 100 sila, ilagay mo sa isang komportableng lugar at magkomperensya sila roon. Ang hamon ko sa kanila ay gumawa lang sila, bibigyan ko sila lang ng 1 taon, gumawa sila ng isang sonnet. Ang sonnet ay 14-line poem. Bantog na bantog si Shakespeare sa kanyang mga sonnets. So, 14-line form, poem. O simplihan na lang natin, limerick. Ano yung limerick? 5-line siya tayo. Japanese na uri ng poem. So, 5 lines. Hihintayin ko sila after 1 year, magpresenta sila sa akin ng 5-line poem. Makakagawa ba sila? Hindi. Because they don't have the capacity of man to think. So, yan ang chief human activity. What sets us apart from all animals in the world is we think. But what is thinking? Thinking is both the reflection of the soul we call mind, but also the activity of the brain. So it's both brain waves as well as mental faculty of the soul. Walang pag-iisip na isip lang na wala ang brain. As long as we are here on earth, now, pagkatapos nating mamatay, nasa tinatawag tayong intermediate state, yung mga spirits in heaven, they think without the brain. But for as long as we are here on earth, laging magkasama yung pag-iisip at yung utak. Anong ibig sabihin yan? Yung healthy mag-isip ay yung may healthy rin na brain. Kung may brain damage, may ibang klase siya mag-isip. So, pinagsama. So, yan yung chief activity. No, isipin natin yung chief activity on the realm of the spiritual. The chief activity is what? Worship. Worship, of course, includes thought, praise, prayer, response to the word. Pero worship is also the congruent activity of both soul and body. May mga nag-aakala na ito ay aktibidad lang ng soul na nakikipagniig ang kaluluwa sa Diyos. Ay subukan mo makipagniig, nakikita ko yan, nakikipagniig ang kaluluwa nila sa Diyos, pero yung katawan nila ay tulog. So, siguro, nakakaya nila, pero sa palagay ko, hindi. Hindi sila nakakasamba na ang katawan ay hindi sumasama. Kinakailangan magkasama ang gising ng katawan doon sa aktibong kaluluwa upang tayo ay talagang makapagsamba. Siguro napapansin niyo, madalas na isama ko sa panalangin pag tayo nagpe-prayer meeting, pinapanalangin natin yung assemblies, madalas kong isama na ihanda namin ang aming katawan sa pagsamba dahil alam ko na hindi tayo makakasamba na kaluluwa lang. Sasamba tayong handa ang katawan at kaluluwa. Kaya sa dalawang chief activities niyan, thinking and worship, we see the joining of soul and body. So, what does this show about complete humanity? We must maximize the good of the soul and of the body. At tamang-tama yung ating meditation ngayon sa ating handout ay hango sa 3 John verses 1 and 2. The elder, tumutukoy kay John as the writer, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Tansin niyo yung all things. Ano yung all things na yon? And be in health just as your soul prospers. So the all things is be in health as the soul prospers. Napakagandang implikasyon nito sa health issues. Health issue can never be purely physical. It can never be purely physical. A holistic approach to health will include both the state of the soul and the state of the body. Kaya nga, kasama, madidiscuss natin in more practical vein next week, kasama ngayon na nakikita ng health experts ay yung kagalakan, joy, the place of leisure, the place of legitimate entertainment, the place of wholesome emotion in order to be healthy. So you cannot think of health simply in muscular terms. Health is emotional, physical, mental. Yan ang tunay na kalagayang pangkalusugan. Kaya yung lagi na lang depressed, marami sinabi ang Proverbs tungkol dyan na dinidescribe yung depression or sorrow or mourning in terms of dryness of the bones. Ibig sabihin, talagang in terms of soul, psychical as well as physical, ang usapin ng kalusugan. Kaya pag napag-usapan natin mga practical or even today, kung meron kayong gusto i-share, ay makikita natin yung pagsasama ng emotional, mental, and physical. So, iyan ang dahilan na ginamit kong awitin na yung joyful, joyful, because this is part of being healthy, to be joyful, to see the wholesomeness of life, to be able to sing along with music. And ang Kristiyano dapat ay may maraming dahilan ng pagiging magalakin sa kanyang buhay because of salvation, because of Christ, because of God's blessings. It is very ironic na ang Kristiyano ay maging depressive manic. Ang isa sa mga bantog na series of sermons ni Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones ay collection of sermons na ang title niya ay Spiritual Depression. At ang isang punto niya roon ay one of the most ironic of sights is a Christian who is given to depression. Yung Kristiyanong lagi na lang nanlulumo, may mga dahilan ng panahon, may mga panahon tama, may tamang dahilan na mamanglaw tayo, malungkot, may mga ganong okasyon. But given a period of time, the Christian should be a joyful person. Ang Kristiyano dapat ay magalakin sa kanyang buhay sa maraming kadahilanan at maraming batayan. Kaya narito yung isang bagay patungkol sa kalusugan. It is one that affirms complete humanity. But I want to add another issue which comes closer to our faith, health, and our Christian testimony. At dyan ko po gagamitin yung nasa itaas ninyong talata, but I want to go to the actual passage. Turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Si Daniel ay isa sa mga bihag na dinala doon sa Babylonia during the Babylonian exile. ang ginawa ng Babylon ay kinuha yung mga magagaling na tao sa iba't ibang sinakop nilang mga bansa kasama ang Juda. At isa sa mga dinala, hinakot nila patungong Babylon ay itong si Daniel at yung kanyang mga kaibigan, at gagawin silang mga tao doon sa palasyo ng hari. Gagawin mga tagapayo. Isang pangyayari doon ay nahainan sila ng pagkaing bawal para sa mga Hudyo nung panahong ito. Ating ngayong basahin sa Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetable to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Now, this is not a brief for vegetarianism. Yung tinuturo po dito ay isang bagay, dalawang bagay. Una, here is an issue of health which was a matter of obedience to the law. The Mosaic Law forbade yung mga uri ng pagkaing inihain sa kanila. E dahil yun ang kautusan noon. Hindi ko sinasabing binding yan ngayon sa mga Kristiyano, pero sa mga Hudyo noon, meron silang dietary laws na kasama sa kanilang pagsunod ay iwasan nila ang ilang pagkain, at ito yung uri ng pagkain na inihain sa kanila. Siguro naman ay masarap ito, nakakagana, sumptuous. After all, this is the palace. This was kingly, royal food. And yet, a matter of obedience para kay Daniel. So Daniel saw the issue as obligation, as a faithful Israelite. But he also saw the salutary effect of obedience as that of physical soundness. So nakita niya na yung pagsunod may kaakibat na bunga ng kalusugan. At yun ang kanyang pinanghawakan. O, anong application yan sa atin? Ang application nito ay health issues have some stewardship concerns that require moral duty. So, may mga usaping pangkalusugan na nakakabit sa tinatawag nating stewardship, pagkakatiwala. Tayo ay katiwala ng Diyos, at isa sa pinagkatiwala niya sa atin ay ang pangangalaga ng ating pagkatao. At kapag tayo ay sumusunod, merong hagip na usaping pangkalusugan para sa mananampalataya. Looking after the body's nurture is part of our stewardship. Yan ang isang leksyon na dapat ay huwag nating kalimutan. We are, pag sinabi natin stewardship, naiisip natin steward tayo ng ating resources, and that is true. That's why part of our worship is giving, because we are stewards of what God has given to us. But what God has given to us includes our physical abilities, our physical capacity. So Ephesians 5:29 says, no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. So inaalagaan ang ating sariling pangangatawan. And disobedience to God's word can have health implications. If we indulge on something which can amount to an addiction, an indulgence that can have physical effect. Gluttony is one. And one epidemic in the West today, and this is now included among top killers is obesity. Obesity, hindi lang yan basta overweight. Yung obesity ay yung taong pag naglalakad, parang lumilindol. Lumilindol yung kanyang katawan. Eh, masama sa katawan yun. Pero it is an obvious case of lack of discipline. And isang bagay ito na makikita natin may kakabit na yung disobedience, nagkakaroon ng health issue. So, a matter of obedience to the law, and there may be issues that you need to consider what may be tantamount to a violation of your stewardship of your health. At ikalawa, na makikita natin sa nangyari kay Daniel, an issue of persuasion to the laws. Now, let me issue this caution. Mag-ingat tayo, baka mag-extreme tayo dito. Hindi ko sinasabi na ang virtue ng ating patotoo, yung mabuti sa ating patotoo ay dahil malusog tayo, na ang implication ay kapag may sakit, masamang patotoo. Mali po yan. Naniniwala ako na may mga Kristiyanong may sakit at ang paghawak nila sa kanilang sakit, yung pag-carry nila ng kanilang sarili during their sickness is a very good testimony. May sinabi si Paul tungkol sa kanyang sarili na tinawag niya 2 Corinthians 12, thorn in the flesh. Nanalangin siya sa Biroon ay 3 times, but actually the better translation is 3 periods or 3 seasons. Siguro may isang season na masyadong masakit sa kanya, nanalangin siyang tanggalin ng Panginoon at maaaring nagkaroon ng major relief. Another season, andun na naman, he had a season of prayer again, and then another season until it became clear to him by revelation from Christ no less that he would not remove it. Mananatili yung thorn in the flesh na iyon. Ano yung thorn in the flesh na iyon? Hindi natin alam. Isang speculation na may possibility ay an eye defect. Kasi may sinabi siya doon sa Galatians, nung magkasundo pa sila, nung umiiral pa yung pagmamahala nila, sinabi roon ni Paul sa mga taga-Galatians that while he was there, you were willing to give your eyes to me. So, was it possible that Paul had an eye defect na nahihirapan siya? Well, one possibility. But what is clear is that this was something physical, a thorn in the flesh, na masakit. Kaya ginamit niya ay thorn at yung kanyang flesh. Pero, nung maliwanag nang hindi ito tatanggalin, anong sabi ng Panginoon sa kanya? My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made manifest in weakness. Kaya, hindi ko po sinasabi na ang sakit ay masamang patotoo. Hindi totoo yan. Hindi tayo tumatanggap sa charismatic teaching na kung may sakit ka, hindi yan kalooban ng Diyos. At kung may sakit ka, dapat pairalin mo ang pananampalataya at kapag nanampalataya ka, tanggal ang sakit mo. Alam mo, sa ganyang pagtuturo, malupit yan. Napakalupit kasi instead na turuan mo yung isang may sakit na magpakababa, tanggapin ang providensya ng Diyos, laging bumabalik sa kanya na kaya ka hindi gumagaling, kulang ka sa pananampalataya. So konsulta siya roon at dito ng mga faith healers. Kapag gumaling siya, ang galing ng faith healer. Pag hindi siya gumaling, kulang siya ng faith. It's a very cruel doctrine. At hindi natin tinatanggap ang ganyang paliwanag. However, what we can see in Daniel is that Daniel confidently used the benefit of health to persuade his pagan handlers. Pwede niyang pinaliwanag yung kautusan. Ito ang dahilan ng kautusan, blah, blah, blah. Sa palagay niyo, mape-persuade niya? I don't think so. Pero ang ginamit niya ay yung health. Nagpasubok siya. Give us 10 days. And in 10 days, Daniel was so sure that in those 10 days, his health will show forth and it will be convincing. So, ang matututunan natin dito ay, the implication here is that Daniel knew, and it is still true today, health is a universal language that all people can appreciate. So, the pagan handler appreciated the issue of health. At maihambing niya. At nung maihambing niya, kitang-kita na malusog itong si Daniel. So, health therefore is a persuasive argument of the rightness of a course of action or lifestyle. So hindi natin inaano yung usaping doktrina dito, pero para kay Daniel, nakita niya yung opportunity to convince by way of health. Kaya maidurugtong natin ito sa Christian testimony. Health can be perceived by unbelievers. The comparison is evident. And if we can show that the reason for our health is a lifestyle dictated by the Word of God, then it shows the rightness of that course of life, of lifestyle. So sa aking sinasabi rito ay it is legitimate. Wastong gamitin ang kalusugan bilang pakinabang ng masunuring pamumuhay. At ang general principle natin dito, why health is a Christian issue, yung mga practical, pag-uusapan natin next week, at maaaring may mga suggestion ang iba sa inyo sa mga practical na bagay, that's fine, but yung pinaka-general principle natin dito, we are body, soul, body and soul humans, let us be body and soul Christians as well. And health is a legitimate Christian issue. Any question? Kung meron kayong gustong isuggest na paraan, kaya sinong healthy rito na matutularan namin? Any question or any issue you like to raise? Glenn. Saan ang mic mo? Well, fasting has both spiritual as well as physical benefits. Sa tagtuturo ng salita ng Diyos, fasting as a means of grace ay intensified praying. Intensified to the extent that you withdraw from food and routine in order to concentrate on praying to God, communion with God. So, yun yung spiritual benefit pag tinignan natin ang fasting as a means of grace. But health experts today will tell us that fasting also is physically beneficial, lalo na dun sa mga nangangailangan ng may mga tanggalin sa kanilang katawan. At isa yun sa kanilang sinasabi ngayon na kailangan ng ilan ng periodic na fasting. So here is a case in point nga na something which has both spiritual as well as physical salutary effects. Kung nakikinig kayo noon ng the late Ernie Baron, yun ang madalas niyang i-suggest na gawin, mag-fast. At it has real physical benefit. Are there questions? Questions or thoughts you'd like to share patungkol sa health issue? Jean?
Pastor, yung preference for vegetable, kasi kung titingnan natin yung mga medical research, pinupoint yung mga problem talaga dun sa pagkain ng mga meat. Of course, we love pork. Pero tsaka din dun sa time, yung Old Testament times, yung mga Israelites, there's a preference for the vegetable. Meron po kaya, ano yun? Well, there's no endorsement, pero posible kaya na, kaya hindi rin sila pinakain ng God at the time ay pwedeng hindi rin ganun ka-healthy yung mga meat?
Well, remember, the dietary laws of Israel were not strictly vegetarian. Yung pagpili ni Daniel ng vegetarian diet must probably be because yung meat available were the forbidden ones. Kaya mas pinrefer niya yung vegetable. But it does not mean that the Mosaic law was strictly vegetarian, because it was not. At tandaan natin, ang ginagawa doon sa mga hinahain, yung sacrifice ng mga hayop, pagkatapos noon kinakain nila, especially during the Passover. So that shows that they ate meat. And meat is the source of nutrients para sa katawan. Kaya I don't believe that vegetarianism is the superior diet but on the other hand, I do believe that vegetables are an essential part of human diet. Kaya yung mga batang ayaw ng gulay ay dapat sanayin natin sa pagkabata pa lang. Ako ngang paborito ko ay ang palaya. Naayon ng maraming bata. Other questions, sorry. Thoughts you'd like to share sa inyong experience of health issue?
Sa panahon mo, maraming mga sa mga lalo sa Pilipino ay nanampalataya dahil yun daw ay dahil sa panampalataya ay gagaling sila sa karamdaman.
Well, una, yung dahil sa pananampalataya, gagaling sa sakit. Sinabi ko na kanina na there is a charismatic teaching which is not biblical. Totoong merong gift of healing during that period. At pwede natin sabihin may gift of healing ngayon through medical means. Pero yung healing by faith is an attractive teaching that has no biblical basis. Kaya tanggihan natin yan. But on the other hand, I am convinced na yung proper Christian living will have health benefits in terms ng joy, in terms ng peace of mind, at isang talagang nakaka-affect ng health ay stress and lack of peace. Peace is one of the graces the believer should be able to cultivate. Pero yung tungkol sa masahaba ang buhay, remember na in terms of longevity, this is a matter of God's sovereign dictate. Ang dikta ng soberanong Diyos, ang haba o ikli ng ating buhay. Other questions? Or other thoughts? Na gusto nyo i-share? Meron pa? Mukhang matatamlay kayo, ha? Mayan.
Hello, patatawanin natin kayo. Sabi kasi, lagi ko itong sinasabi sa mga anak ko, anak, sabi ng nanay ko, sa putok ng bulkan ay may nakakatakbo pa, nakakaligtas, pero sa putok ng tiyan ay wala. So, pastor, so may mga bata tayo ito, kailan nagiging, sabi kasi ang gluttony ay kasalanan. Kailan ba nagiging gluttony, lalo na magpapasko, ayan, sinasabi, maraming handaan, kainan. Kailan nagiging kasalanan ang pagkain?
Gluttony. Siyempre, kapag masasabi natin na wala na sa lugar, wala na sa oras, wala na sa yung sukat na dapat niyang kainin, which will differ from one person to another in terms ng kanilang body constitution. Maaaring yung body ng isa ay mas may requirement kaysa sa iba. Pero I think more or less we will know when something is already out of place, out of measure, out of time, out of season, without making a standard that is the same for all. So, kaya there's a point na may subjective na measure, pero I think more or less most of us can tell kailan na susobra na sa panahon, sa sukat, at sa yung place. Sa iba, siyempre, makikita yan sa thought patterns nila. Nag-worship, ang iniisip ay ano kayang lunch mamaya. Yun, talaga, symptom na yun. Other thoughts? Meron pa? Go ahead, ma'am.
Pastor, siguro narinig niyo na itong may mga pastor na nagpo 40-day fasting. Anong masasabi niyo sa mga karanasang ito?
What's that?
May mga pastor na nagpo 40 days, nagpa-fast for 40 days. Anong masasabi niyo dito?
40 days. Siyempre, iniisip nilang gumaya sa Panginoon na 40 days. I don't believe that there is any imperative for that. I don't believe that that shows any more spirituality than others. In other words, kapag ginamit na natin yan in a ritualistic fashion, that will be totally wrong. At kung babasahin ninyo yung very popular book ni Rick Warren na Purpose-Driven Life, meron siyang punto roon ng significance of 40, at yung purpose-driven program is 40 days. And these are all wrong. Kung gagamit tayo ng number, it becomes arbitrary kung bakit 40. Why not the number of days that Noah was in the ark? Or why not the number ng in terms ng number ng apostles? May mga gumagamit ng mga ganyan. These are all arbitrary and deceiving. Kaya walang healthy doon sa particular number na ginagamit. And the last thoughts, Glenn.
Noon unang panahon, Pastor, yung naging hindi man tradition, hindi from time to time mayroong fasting yung church. Ngayon, mukhang nawawala na yun. Ano bang recommendation? Anong maganda bang i-revive yun? Or family lang? Or ano ba? Kailan ba kailangan mo yung ganun?
I mean, there's nothing wrong for a church to declare a day of fast, which we did in the past. We still do whenever the church is in very difficult circumstances. Hindi na nga nagagawa yun ngayon. Meron tayong day of supplication where I encourage voluntary fasting. But in terms ng the church, as a church fasting, it will be a good idea, although we have not done that for quite some time. What I'm certain is that some individuals can have a fast that will be good for them, not only spiritually, but physically. So, sana next week ay makapaghanda tayo ng mga practical na bagay na magkakaroon tayo ng exchange of ideas on how to cultivate, how to maintain, and how to preserve our health, anong ginagawa dapat, anong ginagawa ninyong practical, at how your health is being kept through some practical ways. At yun po ang mapag-uusapan natin next week. Let us close in prayer. Nagpapasalamat kami, dakila naming Diyos, na makagagamit kami ng iyong salita upang mag-aral sa mga usaping pangkalusugan, at nawa'y ipaalala mo sa amin na nilalang mo kaming mga tao na may katawan at kaluluwa, at ang katawan at kaluluwa namin ay iyong pinag-ugnay, pinagtambal hanggang kami ay nabubuhay dito sa mundo. Hindi maaring ang isang gawain namin ay katawan lamang o kaluluwa lamang. Hindi namin maaring pabayaan ang aming katawan para sa usapin ng kaluluwa o pabayaan ng kaluluwa para sa usapin at interes ng katawan. Kundi bilang mga tao ay pinag-ugnay mo ang katawan at kaluluwa, at kaya kinakailangan naming mamuhay bilang katawan at kaluluwa. And indeed, even health issues can never be strictly a physical matter, but rather a mental, emotional, physical health. And grant, Lord, that we may address it in that vein. We also pray that we can see the testimonial part of health issue, kagaya ng ginawa ni Daniel, na ginamit niya ang paghihikayat ng kalusugan upang ipakita ang kainaman ng pagsunod sa iyong salita. Naway magkaroon din kami ng gayong pag-iisip bilang mga katiwala mo ng kalusugan na ibinigay mo sa amin, at nawa, Panginoon, ay maging practical ang aming palitan at talakayan sa susunod na linggo upang matuto kami sa karanasan ng iba't ibang kapatiran sa usapin na pangkalusugan. Pinapanalangin namin, Panginoon, na ikaw ang mag-ingat sa bawat isa at magbigay ng pangangailangang pangkalusugan upang magamit namin ang aming buhay para sa iyong ikaluluwalhati. Maraming salamat, panalangin namin ito sa pangalan lamang ng aming Panginoong Hesukristo. Amen.